everyone. Thank you for joining us. You're listening to Mormon Channel Daily, brought to you by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. I'm your host, Lisa Hollinger. What's new at the Mormon Channel today? We have a new episode of Everything Creative, and in this episode, the country music group called Redhead Express, and this is a group of four sisters, Kendra, Larae, Elisa, and Megan Walker, all join host Nancy Hansen on this special Nashville episode of Everything Creative. They're going to share their music, which they deem a homegrown blend of contemporary country, old-fashioned bluegrass, and Americana, with us. They talk about touring together as a family and holding their standards high as LDS youth working in the music industry. This is going to premiere Friday, tomorrow, at 3 p.m. You can also catch it again on Saturday at 2 p.m. I'm particularly excited about this one. I think it's going to be really fun. What seems really fun about that group is it's a group of four sisters. I don't have any sisters, but I think it would be really fun to have a group of sisters or brothers that you go around singing with. How fun is that to have it within your own family? Families are really important to us. In fact, they're so important that in 1995, we actually came out with a proclamation about the family. It was read by President Hinckley, who was the prophet of the church at that time, at the General Relief Society meeting on September 23rd, 1995. And in this proclamation, a couple of the things that it emphasizes are that the family is the fundamental unit of society and it's ordained of God. There are specific roles that men and women have. Fathers are to preside over their families in love and righteousness and are responsible to provide the necessities of life and protection for their families. Now, when we say the word preside, I know a lot of people get a little bit antsy about that, but the goal here is that, and it says this later on in the proclamation, that fathers and mothers are obligated to help one another as equal partners. So just because the father is presiding doesn't mean that he's the one completely in control. They're functioning as an equal partnership, which is one thing that I love about the proclamation. And then the women, it says in the proclamation, that mothers are primarily responsible for the nurture of their children. And this makes sense, right? Because the fathers are primarily the breadwinners, and the mothers are going to be the ones that are caring and watching over the children. I think it's a wonderful blend and a perfect partnership. Now, just because I'm talking about that, I know that not all of us are in that situation. I didn't grow up in that ideal situation, and I don't have that ideal situation right now because I'm not married. But this is what we're striving for. This is what we'd like to have and what we set as the ideal of what we want to accomplish. Because, like it says, the family is the fundamental unit of society. We have to strengthen families in order to keep our nation strong and keep our families strong. So how do we do it? There was one talk in General Conference of April 2013 given by Elder L. Whitney Clayton, who's in the presidency of the 70, and it's called Marriage, Watch and Learn. And he gives a lot of really great tips on how to have a successful marriage. And he says, let me share with you a few principles I have learned by watching and learning from wonderful, faithful marriages. He says, I have observed that in the happiest marriages, both the husband and wife consider their relationship to be a treasure of infinite worth. So I thought about that line and I thought, okay, when I think of a treasure, I think of a big treasure chest with gold and jewels and other items of significant value and worth. So I asked myself the question, do we regard our spouses that way? They are a treasure to us, something that we adore and cherish. The second thing he says is successful marriages are built on the foundation of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he gives some ways about how we can accomplish that. And he says to do the basic things together, pray together, read the scriptures together, spend time as a family together. It makes sense that if we include the Lord in our relationship with our spouse, it's going to be stronger than if we try to do it by ourselves. We can gain help and strength and comfort and guidance from the Lord in our relationships, and not just marriage relationships, but this applies, of course, to any relationship that we have. His third suggestion is that repentance and humility build happy marriages. He says, humility answers softly and listens kindly for understanding, not vindication. Humility recognizes that no one can change someone else, but with faith, effort, and help of God, we can undergo our own mighty change of heart. Experiencing the mighty change of heart causes us to treat others, especially our spouses, with meekness. Humility means that both husbands and wives seek to bless, help, and lift each other, putting the other first in every decision. So let me ask this question. Do you ever try to change your spouse? It's interesting that he says we shouldn't try to change each other, but we should try to change ourselves and have our own hearts turn to God, and then we will treat each other better. Number four, terrific marriages are completely respectful, transparent, and loyal. And he talks about being appropriate with the internet. He says, speaking of couples, they permit themselves no secret internet experiences. They freely share with each other their social network passwords. They do not look at the virtual profiles of anyone in any way that might betray the sacred trust of their spouse. They never do or say anything that approaches the appearance of impropriety, either virtually or physically. I've noticed that one of my friends on Facebook, she and her husband actually have a joint Facebook account. And I'm not saying that everybody needs to do that. I'm just saying that for them, that's one way that you could handle that. The idea is to just keep it respectful, transparent, and loyal when we're on the internet. Number five, successful couples love each other with complete devotion. He says both the husband and wife leave behind their single life and establish their marriage as their first priority. I thought that was a good reminder because I think we can get so busy in life with work and kids and family that sometimes we can forget, hey, this person that I'm married to, this is my first priority. This is the person that I care about most. And we know that families are really important, and we believe that we can be with our spouse and our families forever. So of all things, this is the relationship that we want to definitely nurture and take care of. I liked those suggestions that he gave about how to have a happy marriage, and I hope that you find those useful. Feel free to share any of your comments with me. You can always reach me at mormonchanneldaily@ldschurch.org. And with that, it's time to close. I thank you for being with us today. This has been another episode of Mormon Channel Daily, brought to you by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And the song of the day that I want to leave you with today is one of my favorites. It's called Love Like That, featuring Daniel Beck. Thanks, everyone, for joining us, and have a great day.
One look from you blows me away. Just one word is all it takes. My courage disappears in the shadow of my fears. I'm carried by your strength. When the man I want to be standing just beyond my reach, touch, it gently lifts me up, then brings me to my knees. How do you love like that? How do you give so selflessly? Your faith in me just seems to come so easily. It amazes me how it changes me. How do you love like that? When I'm dancing on the edge, reach out and pull me in. When I'm drifting unaware, you always find me there and rescue me again. How do you love like that? How do you give so selflessly?
Your faith in me just seems to come so easily. It amazes me.